Hello and welcome to the Torah Simcha Nachayomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orly, and today we are studying Shmuel Beis, Perek Chaf Gimel 23. We are nearing the end of our Sefer. We just finished learning in the previous Perek about the sublime and moving words of David HaMelech, which actually is the Haftorah for the last day of Pesach. Those of you who are following along the calendar, that will be coming up very shortly. So we open up this Perek with more poetic words from David HaMelech. Pasuk Aleph 1. Ve'ele divrei David ha'acharonim. These are the last words of David. What were those last words? What were the first words? We will talk about that. Ne'um David ben Yishai. These are the word of David, the son of Yishai. Ne'um ha'gever hukam ol. It is the word of the man who has been elevated on high. Mashiach Elokei Yaakov. He is the anointed one of the God of Yaakov. Une'im zmiros Yisrael. And the pleasant, most pleasant, beautiful singer of Israel. What are these last words of David? So according to Rashi, Nevuas David Achronim Umihem Harishonim. What are the first words? Divrei Hashira Amur Lamala. So these are the last prophetic words of David HaMelech. And the first words are those words that we read in chapter 22. They're both words of Nevuah. So from here we see that David was a prophet. There was prophecy. Indeed, the Gemara in Sota tells us, Mi heim neviim rishonim, David, Shmuel, v'Shlomo. David is counted amongst the prophet. Ne'im zmiros Yisrael, the sweet singer or composer of Israel. This is a very famous phrase. This is how David is succinctly described. This is his title. And Rashi on these words tell us, Ein Yisrael mishorim b'mikdash ela shirosav uzmirosav, that in the Mikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Levim would sing only his songs, only his compositions. Within this pasuk, we see that David HaMelech is referred to with four titles, four descriptions. The first is Ben Yishai. He's the son of Yishai, a title of distinction because Yishai was a great man. And according to Chazal, he is one of those men who never sinned. That's in the Gemara and Sota. There is another description, Hagever Hukam Ol. This is a man who is elevated to such heights, Ol, from Aliyah, because Hashem granted him the opportunity for growth, which he took. He ran with this opportunity. We all have opportunities. The question is if we build on those opportunities. Another idea of Shehukam Ol Shel Tshuva. He represented taking the Ol, like a play on words of not up, but taking the yoke, as in Ol, the yoke of Teshuvah, which means that David was a role model for those who want to engage in Teshuvah. You want to look at Teshuvah, you want to look at somebody who is intellectually honest, who is able to, honestly assess his life and honestly assess his deeds. Look at David HaMelech as a model. Therefore, we can say, Hukam Ol, we can be explained in the passive that he was elevated on high, but we can explain this in terms of that David elevated the concept of Teshuvah because he is a role model. The third description is Mashiach Elokei Yaakov. He was chosen for the task to be the king over Israel. And the fourth description, as we said, is Ne'im Zmiros Yisrael. His songs, which were composed via Ruach HaKodesh, were sung in the Beis HaMikdash. His songs have lifted the Jewish people and have accompanied us throughout every situation and experience imaginable. We know that Tehillim was not only composed by David HaMelech, there were nine other authors, but Chazal tell us that David is the most beautiful of all of those in terms of his representing the Jewish soul, the collective Jewish soul, because of the intent and the thought and the investment that he put into those words. A beautiful idea is brought by the Be'er Moshe of Moshe Chil HaLevi, who links the characterization of David as Hukam Ol to the last part of the pasuk, which describes him as Ne'im Zmiros Yisrael, and he suggests that David's ability to do a complete shuva, if we take that explanation, Hukam Ol, a play on words, that he was able to Hukam Ol Shel Tshuva, suggests that David's ability to do a complete shuva in being intellectually honest and doing a real self-assessment is through the medium of Shiros V'Tishbachos. And the reason for this is because within David HaMelech's Shiros V'Tishbachos contains a deep recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thereby expressing his Hakaras HaTov. When David expressed his appreciation of God as the end-all and be-all of his existence, this leads one to repentance. So he connects Hukam Ol to Ne'im Zmiros Yisrael in terms of David's ability to do tshuva. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2, tells us, Ruach Hashem diber bi umilaso al lishoni. The Ruach of Hashem, the Spirit of Hashem, spoke to me, and his word is on my tongue, meaning that I'm saying these words through Nevuah. These next few psukim are through Nevuah. Recall in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tes Zayin Yud Gimel, after David is anointed, the Navi tells us, "Vatitzlach ruach Hashem el David mehayom hahu v'mala," and the Targum Yonasan says that this ruach Hashem was a ruach nevuah that David had. Milasi al lishoni, God's words are on my lips, and this is one of the many sources that point to the transformative power of Tehillim in general. That so here it's specifically Pshat, he's speaking about these words that he is about to say, but there are commentaries that say this expands to everything that David said, because the Tehillim that he said are said through Ruach HaKodesh, as if God was speaking through him. He was inspired by God, and therefore this speaks to the importance, the relevance, the unbelievable power of Tehillim, which we know well. Now David is going to speak about his melucha, about his kingdom, about what his task is. Pasuk Gimel 3, Amar Elokei Yisraeli, Diber Tzur Yisrael, Moshel Ba'adam Tzadik Moshel Yir'as Elokim. The God of Israel has told me, the Rock of Israel, Tzur Yisrael, referring to Hashem, that you should become a leader, a ruler over men, a righteous leader over men, who rules through the fear of Hashem, meaning that your kingdom should be based on Yiras Hashem. David was appointed to be a leader who rules with tzedek, who rules with righteousness, with honesty. Recall back in Perek Ches Pasuk Tezvav, Perek 8 Pasuk 15, David's tenure was characterized by the Navi as Vayihi David Oseh Mishpat Utzdaka L'chol Amo. So here he is telling us similarly, Moshel Ba'adam Tzadik, that you have to rule, another way of understanding is that you have to rule with the idea of righteousness. Pasuk Dalid is describing David HaMelech's kingdom, or the Davidic dynasty. Actually, according to the Malbim, these next few psukim actually described a messianic time, just to keep that in mind. But Pasuk Dalid tells us, Ucha'ar boker yizrach shemesh, like the light of the morning, the sun shines. Lo avos minogam mimatar desha me'aretz. There are not. It's a day without any clouds. It's a cloudless day, and it is brighter than the shining rain on the grass of the land. When it rains and then it stops raining and then the sun comes out, the water and the moisture on the vegetation is glistening. This is how David HaMelech's kingdom is described. We feel a sense of serenity from these words. So David HaMelech's kingdom is compared to a very bright day. Just as the sun is seen and impacts everybody on earth, so too does Mamlechus Beis David, the Jewish monarchy, should impact all mankind by being a role model of justice for the world. Pasuk He is a difficult pasuk because we're sort of not understanding the segue. We're saying that David HaMelech's dynasty is considered as bright as a cloudless day, and then the next pasuk we're saying Lo Chein Besi im kale. So what is this? What is the distinction here? So we're going to explain it according to the Targum Yonasan, although Rashi and Radak have a different approach. And the way Targum Yonasan understands it is that it's true that the aforementioned dynasty is described in terms of the brightness of the sun, but my kingdom is not like the aforementioned description. It's so much more. You can think that it's like that, but if you can imagine that it's even brighter than that. And again, if we're speaking, and if we go according to the Malbim that describes this as a messianic nevuah, then that certainly makes sense that David HaMelech's current monarchy is as bright as the sun, but just think about messianic times when Mashiach comes, that melucha, that monarchy, that kingdom will be even brighter than that. So the next part of our pasuk says, my kingdom is even better than what we described. Ki bris olam samli arucha b'chol u'shmura ki chol yish'i v'chol chefetz ki lo yatzmiach. The reason it is brighter than what you can even imagine is because Hashem has promised me this everlasting covenant that's established and secure because my entire salvation and desire has been fulfilled because He will not allow other nations or my enemies to sprout. Meaning that Hashem promised David that his dynasty will be everlasting. Remember back in Perek Zion 7, Pasuk 13, V'chonanti es kisei mamlachto ad olam. He told Nasan HaNavi that David HaMelech's melucha will be an everlasting melucha. Now this melucha is considered a bris olam, not a melucha olam. A bris is a covenant, meaning that David's melucha and any success is a direct result of the bris, of the covenantal Torah. One is related to the other. And then Psukim Vav and Zion 6 and 7 speak about the role of the melech as weeding out the wicked and weeding out any corruption, either in a general sense, or it is a plea from David that the corruption within his own family, within his own kingdom, should be purged. So that's that first section of Perek Chaf Gimel. So the next portion of our Perek speaks of the mighty warriors in David's army. And here, Ralbag, at the end of his commentary, he has a list of lessons that one can derive from Sefer Shmuel. One of those lessons is he tells us that David's warriors were not just great physical warriors, but they were great Torah warriors as well. Meaning that battle readiness and plumbing the depths of Torah went hand in hand in David's army. In today's terms, we don't think of a Talmud Chacham as a decorated soldier, and we don't think of a decorated soldier as a Talmud Chacham. The two usually are mutually exclusive, but not in the time of David HaMelech. And he says the reason for this is because he says, in his words, Lahodia Shegiburei David Hayu Kulam Anashim Chachamim Gamkein Bechachmas HaTorah. They weren't just well versed in warfare; they were well versed in Torah. Lachein Hayat Dveikahash Gachas Yisbarach Bahem. The reason that they were successful in their wars is because they had Hashgacha. They had God's Hashgacha providence, and the reason they had God's providence is because they were engrossed in Torah learning. Therefore, he continues to describe some of the warriors in his army that will be discussed in a few moments in these psukim. One of them was a member of the Sanhedrin. The Crasi Uplasi is mentioned many times. We have mentioned that there's a number of ways of understanding this. And one way we said was that they were archers and a special advanced group of archers. And another way that we understood it was that they were members of Sanhedrin. So this, the Ralbag is understanding this to say that the warriors were also tremendous Talmidei Chachamim, that they were tremendous in Torah. So the Navi is telling us now some of the accounts of these warriors. So we have Adino, who the Navi tells us killed 800 men at once. The Radak calls him Adino along the same line. B'sha'ashaya osek b'torah m'adein atzmo k'tola'as. That when he was busy learning in Torah, he attached himself to as if he was a worm, meaning he was very humble. Ubishasha yo yotze lemilchama mikashetz mo ke'etz. When he went out to war, he was as strong as a tree, which is why he is termed Adino ha'etzni, Adin from being humble or pleasant, and etzni from the lashon of eight. So we see that they come hand in hand. We are also told about Adino that he was b'sheves tachkemoni, that he was sitting amongst the wise people. And again, that's a reference for possibly the Sanhedrin, according to Chazal. There are also some opinions that say this Adino was actually Yoav. He was referred to as Adino. Other warriors that the Navi lists are Elazar ben Dodo. He's one of these three warriors who fought a fierce battle with the Plishtim, so much so that his hands had to be pried from the sword. And Shama ben Agei, who helped in another war with the Plishtim while protecting a large field of crops. We come across an episode in one of these battles where David was in a Metsuda. He was in a cave in Adulam, which probably occurred when he was fleeing from Shaul, according to the Radak. And he was very thirsty and ostensibly said, "If only I would have something to drink." This is in Pasuk Tesvav, Vayitaveh David, Vayomar, Mi ashkeni mayim mibor beis lechem asher bashar. Who is going to give me some water from the well that is at the gates of Beis Lechem? It's unclear whether or not he said this to himself and somebody overheard it, or he specifically asked somebody to get it. According to Barbanel, he actually never made a direct request. Nevertheless, his three brave warriors went to Beis Lechem through enemy territory and in order to get to Beis Lechem, and they retrieved him some fresh drinking water. But David consecrated the water instead of drinking it. Pasuk Yud Zayin 17, Velo avalish tosam vayasech osam lahashem. He didn't want to drink it, so he consecrated it for Hashem, like nisuch hamayim, it's the same lashon. And he said, continues in Pasuk 18, Vayomer, he said, Chalila li Hashem me'asosizos hadam hanoshim ha'olchim b'nafshosam, Velo avalish tosam. Far be it from me that I should do this, that people have risked their lives, have almost shed their blood in order for me to drink this. I will not drink it. And therefore he consecrated this water to Hashem. Then the Navi continues to describe another bunch of warriors, another trio of warriors. Only two are named. One is Avishai, who we have met many times. He is referred to here as Hachi Nechbad, the most honored, in Pasuk Yotes in 19. Not that he is the most, you know, the biggest gibor, the biggest warrior, but he is Hachi Nechbad, the most honored, which speaks to what the Ralbag had suggested, that these warriors were not just physical warriors, but they also were very involved in Torah. One went with the other. Now we also learn of Benayahu ben Yehoyada, who slays a lion in a snowy pit. Other warriors are listed here as well. In Pasuk Lamed Dalid 34, we have Eliam ben Achitofel Hagiloni, which we referenced as the father of Bathsheba. And we also have here listed Uriah Hachiti, who was he's the last one that's listed in Pasuk Lamed Tes, that he was one of David's great warriors. In conclusion, I just want to bring your attention back to the first pasuk of our parak, Hukam Hagever, Hukam Ol, this man who elevated himself on high. And the Medrash Rabbah tells us, Ol Begamatria Mea, Ayin Lamed is the numerical value of 100, Kenegan Mea Brachos, Shebachol Yom Hayu Meisim Yisrael Mea Anashim Badavad V'tiknan Lamea Brachos. There was a plague during David's time where 100 people died every day. So David investigated to determine what should he do to stop the plague. And he saw Baruch HaKodesh that he must institute the practice of saying 100 brachos a day. Obviously, this occurred before formal prayer was in practice. He instituted 100 brachos and the plague stopped. Now, this plague is not, I do not believe it's the same plague that is referenced in our next parak, which came about because of David's taking a census. There he does know the reason. In any case, the Magefa is stopped because of the 100 brachos, and perhaps we can say that a bracha is a way to declare that God is the ruler over the world. And the fact that we are allowed to be nehene, that we are able to enjoy and live in Olam Hazeh, is only because God allows us to do it. So by making a bracha, we are acknowledging the fact that God is allowing us to live in this world. Therefore, perhaps we can say that the institution of those brachos is declaring that God is the ruler over the world and he allows us to use Olam Hazeh. Therefore, the Magefa stopped and people were allowed to live and derive benefit from Olam Hazeh. Certainly this message is timely for us today, as I'm recording this during the coronavirus outbreak. And certainly we have become more aware than ever who is the ruler and who is the Adon, who is the master of this world. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we should see Yeshuos and Refuos. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.